Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Hello, everybody. It's so good to be with you, and I'm sure your hearts are warmed by the presence of your own brothers and sisters here. So look at each other and say, you are my brother or my sister, depending on who's sitting next to you. That's right. And I think that's the beauty of being part of the family of God. We belong to each other, and we look after each other too. We look out for each other. Let's pray, and particularly as we pray, I'm going to pray that the Lord will reveal to us the mystery of Jesus' death and God's plan for us. So let's pray and come to the Lord. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for who you are, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we are here today, gathered as your people, gathered as one body. And Lord, we pray today, Lord, that you would encourage us through your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will show us, Jesus, why you came to this earth, Lord, and pray that you will reveal to us the mystery of your death, of your resurrection. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us in a fresh way today, Lord. Lord, we just commit this message into your hands, Lord, and pray for your Holy Spirit's guiding. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 12. And we'll be looking at verses 54 to the end of the chapter. And then looking at the next chapter, Luke 13, and verses 1 to 8. We'll read Luke chapter 12 and verses 54 to 59 first. And then we'll come to the other bit later on. He said to the crowd, this is Jesus. He continues speaking to his disciples and the crowd. So he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. So Jesus had been teaching his disciples and the crowd what it looks like to be part of the kingdom of God. And he's now teaching about what it means to be good interpreters of time. And the key for us is interpreting this present time that he says in verse 56. And what does Jesus mean when he says by this present time? That is right now. What is happening right now? Well, if you see the passage just before it, Luke 12:49, Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. There are two specific things here about the present time that Jesus speaks about. The first one is that Jesus came to bring fire on earth. And second, he has to undergo a baptism. Now, in regard to the fire here, Jesus is talking about the fire of the coming judgment. We see that Jesus came to judge, and in that same passage earlier, verses 51 onwards, to also divide the people by the way they respond to him. So they either follow him or they do not. But Jesus said, something else must happen before the judgment. What is it? That he must be baptized. Now, the Greek phrase, they literally reads as, I have a baptism to be baptized. And we have translated here as, I have a baptism to undergo. It is a baptism where he doesn't simply partake in just as you and I were baptized. But it is something that is to be thrust upon him. Right? Again, to be baptized. It's a passive form of that verb. Now, we know that Jesus was already baptized by John. and the Holy Spirit was already on him. So Jesus here is talking about the death that he will need to die. And unless he dies, he cannot judge. That was his mission. And interestingly, Jesus wished to suffer and save us at the same time. That wish is an emphatic expression. He says, "Oh, how I wish that the fire was already kindled." And what's more, he says, "But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed." He longs, Jesus is saying, "I long for you to be restored and reconciled to God." Jesus had to first bear God's judgment and rejection against our sin, our rebellion against God, so that we have a chance to be reconciled to God before the final judgment. So this is the present time that we are in, that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He had been teaching about God's plan and what it looks like to belong to God's kingdom. He said to his disciples in Mark 10:39, that yes, his disciples may even die the death that Jesus died for their faith in him. And in Luke, he said that the persecution may even come from those near to them, and that they will experience division within the family, people who are most intimate to them. What does that tell us? Being with Jesus is standing against those who do not stand with him. And so with this profound and personally challenging mission statement, Jesus now goes on to show the crowd how to be good interpreters of time and seasons. He says, be good judges, be consistent, and be reconciled to your accuser, the one you have wronged. So how does being good judges look like? Verse 54 here says, he said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is." Hypocrites, he says, but we'll come back to that later. You see, we are taught how to interpret the seasons since our childhood, right? We learn what to look for in terms of the signs. Is it going to rain? Is it spring? Is it winter? Is it summer? In the same way, we also learn about people and how to live in this world. We can tell who is sad or happy or distressed or all sorts of emotions. We make different judgments, meaning what is good, what is bad, what is useful, what is not useful, what is beneficial, or what is the right thing to do, what is not the right thing to do. We make decisions all the time and judgments all the time. And our judgments are based on various different things, right? It's what we've been taught since we were little, or what we observe around us, the social, cultural settings that we are born into, science, technology, and research, and so on. So we watch the current trends, we watch what's happening around us, where how things are moving, and we decide whether we're going to move with the tide or whether we're going to move against the tide if the river is going down, you know, to the waterfall. And yet Jesus said to these people, "You are hypocrites. You know all these things. You know how to interpret the seasons. And yet you are very slow to learn. You behave in a way that is contrary to your own judgments." And it can often be the same with us. You know, we can give in to the latest fashion or cultures, even when sometimes we know that it does not honor God, or that we are robbed of our time from God or each other. We know that the Lord desires for us to be reconciled with one another and live with peace with one another. But when we do have a conflict, or if we have wronged someone, we often tend to do exactly the opposite. We tend to. I'm saying it's a tendency, it's a human nature, right? We either respond by being aggressive or we retaliate passively. We want to hide away. It's too difficult. And there are different reasons why we behave in such a way. And it does require a lot of humility. It does require a lot of courage to actually go and make amends with someone we have wronged. And that's why Jesus is saying, try hard. Try hard to be reconciled. He knows it's not easy. But that's the way of God, to try hard to be reconciled. And so Jesus is asking the crowd to be good judges by reconciling to the adversary. It is better to be reconciled than to suffer the consequences in the prison, right? And if we can judge the weather patterns correctly, then shouldn't we also judge our actions and our thoughts or our motives rightly? The simple answer is yes, of course we must. The difficulty is in the how. How do we do it? How do we reconcile? So if you look at chapter 13 now, some people were present there who report to Jesus about an incident that happened where Pilate had killed some Galileans. And we don't know what their motives were in telling Jesus of this incident, but Jesus knew and he gives them a very serious answer. So let's read Luke 13, 1 to 8. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Are those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable to them. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." So the story of Pilate killing Galileans and mixing their blood with their sacrifice is only recorded here in Luke. We find it just in the Gospel of Luke. And so was the story, so also is the story of the fall of the Tower of Siloam. But the listeners would have been very well aware of these two incidents. Siloam was just outside the walls of Jerusalem on the southeast side. And we don't know what the tower was built for or was being built for and why it fell, but we know that 18 people were killed that day. And in both of these cases, it was easy for people to assume, or even the questioners, to assume that maybe these people had committed some serious crime or they were really sinful. They probably had some open or secret sins. They were very bad people and therefore they deserved to die. Or that it was God's judgment as a punishment. And we can also fall into this trap of thinking that our suffering is proportionate to our sinfulness. Or that we have the right to make such judgment to others on others. And Jesus is saying to them, and he says to us that no, this is not the case. Whether it's a human-made tragedy, such as Pilate killing the Galileans, or it is a natural one where the tower fell and people were killed, everyone needed to repent. Everyone, every single person, or else perish. And there's a sense of eternity here. But rather than the physical death right there and right now, those who do not repent will die, is what Jesus is saying. But we also know that when repentance happens, there is a change of mind. And not just the mind, but a change of actions, behavior, right? And when Jesus tells them the parable of the fig tree that does not produce fruit and therefore will be cut down, Jesus is saying to them that this is what will happen to those who do not repent. It's a very serious thing. So he says, be good judges. Look at the present time. This is who I am. I bring the kingdom of God to you. Examine yourself and do the right thing. So what about us? What about you? What is Jesus saying to us today? His message is the same. He died the death for us. And we can be free from our sins, burdens, when we do believe in him. It's right there. We don't just have the food on our tables to look at it. We look at it and we admire it, we smell it, and we are eager to eat, and we will eat. If we don't eat, we'll go hungry. And we would also want to share it with others. Now, you would have seen the pieces of paper on your chairs and pencils. Please grab them. And let's take a few seconds to reflect on some of these things. The questions are there on the PowerPoint. Write down one thing, just one thing, that is hindering or getting in the way of you having a wholesome relationship with God. And the second thing is just one thing, again, that's hindering or getting in the way of you having a wholesome relationship with someone you may have wronged. You might want to reflect on, have I wronged somebody? Either intentionally or unintentionally. Or someone might perceive that you've wronged them. Okay? Take 10 seconds and see if something comes up. Now just take another few seconds and reflect on what does reconciliation with God and with others look like, or that person that you wrote down or you're thinking of. Write down that just one thing that will grow you closer, one step closer to mending your relationship with that person. Just one thing. And one thing that you can do to mend your relationship with God. Could be anything. And if you're struggling with this, know that this is completely normal. And whenever I have struggles like this, I speak to my family, I speak to the pastors, my mentors, and very few close Christian friends. Because we're meant to be in a community, brothers and sisters growing together, holding each other accountable, learning from one another. Jesus said, try hard to be reconciled. Because it is hard to be reconciled. It is very difficult to say sorry when we have wronged someone. We either want to be right, or it is too shameful to show our face to that person again. Often our pride gets in the way of admitting our wrongs. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit helps us. He does. And when we reconcile with God, we desire to reconcile with others. It's that fig tree and the fruit thing. I remember in my late teen years when my faith was really flourishing, if I had had any big arguments with my parents and said something that I shouldn't have said, I really found it difficult to go to bed at night. I really found it difficult because the first thing I would do is pray. And as my guilt and sin was before me, I found it difficult to go to bed. So then, and sometimes I'd fight with myself, but I was right. I was right. And then I'd get out of the bed and just knock on the parents' door and see if they were awake. And yes, they were awake. This was quite early, just as we had gone to bed. And I would apologize and I'd say sorry. And that was powerful because it meant our relationship. It brought healing. It brought unity again. And I could sleep well. Broken relationships can rob our sleep, can't it? And sometimes the apology was tearful. It was with tears. But it brought healing. It brought peace. It brought freedom. And it is very important for all of us to put out our fires as quickly as possible so that it doesn't grow into a big fire that can actually consume a lot more things. A lot more things can get destroyed. And it is in our sinful nature and the pattern of this world, whether we are from the West or whether we are from the East, different cultures. We don't like to show our weaknesses. We like to save our face or to be right even where we are wrong or have wronged. But this is an interesting thing. If we claim to follow Christ, we must remember that we are the face of Christ. And so whose face are we trying to save? Christ does not need saving face. He's already lost his face in order to save us. He took on our sins. He took on the guilt even when he was not guilty. So whose face are we trying to save? Nobody's. And so if we are trying to save our face, let's come to the Lord and say, God, I need you. Just humble ourselves. Lord, I need you. So Jesus is telling his disciples here, and he's saying the same thing to us today. Try hard. Not just to be reconciled with somebody you've wronged, but the most important thing is to be reconciled to God. Repent. Come to Jesus. So we're going to pray, and I just ask just to, you know, just bow down. Just pray. Pray for somebody else. Pray for yourselves. And if you want to say yes to Jesus today, the floor is open. Jesus calls us. He calls us every single day. And if you're struggling, if you don't know how to reconcile, please come and speak with one of the leaders after this. There's a prayer room at the back. We can head in there. Just remember that you're not alone. We are not walking this journey alone. We can only do it as people of God together. Lord, we come to you. Father, we come to our knees. We come to you as broken vessels, only mended by you. Lord, you make us whole. You make us complete. Because you were distressed to see us being reconciled to you, God, to be freed from the burden of sin and death as a consequence. And Jesus, we sang earlier that we love you. Yes, Lord, we do love you. And I pray if there's anybody here today who is in need of your love, Lord, I pray may your Holy Spirit open the hearts and minds. May you enter, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that whoever it is, Father, that they will come and be healed. So we thank you, Jesus, and we thank you for your love. We pray that you would help us, Lord Jesus, as we try hard to be reconciled to somebody we've wronged. We pray that we would have Christ-like humility, and we pray that you would show us, you would help us with that. And we pray that we would spend time with you, that you would help, you would teach us yourself, Jesus, because we know that you do. So Lord, we just commit ourselves to you today again, and we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, and I want to read this blessing from Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, may you have a blessed week. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.